It's the True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, joined tonight on the line by Ben, Bolland and Mickey. Almost a full house, notwithstanding Si. Also joined for the first time by Tom from Warhem. So welcome to Tom for the first time. Before we start the show, I was supposed to have a Birmingham fan on tonight, but he's let me down. Some of you might have wondered why I often have two fans from other teams. It's because I always fear that strangers will let us down. Everyone's been so spot on from the other clubs in recent shows, I thought there was no need this week, so I just got one opposition fan on, and here we are. Really quick shout out for the Gallagher Flags quiz. I know people are probably sick of me talking about it now. About 50 tickets left. If we do sell out of tickets, we can push for more space. I don't know how, because the last one was absolutely packed, but apparently we can push for more. Just been confirmed to me today that the club are massively kindly going to get all of the players to read the questions out for us, you know, on recorded video, which is absolutely class. Matthew Raisbeck couldn't join us this time because he's away. He was absolutely superb last time. So the club have stepped in to do that. Saves it from, you know, basically me having to do it, which wouldn't have been anywhere near as good. So thank you very much to Lee Marshall and Newcastle United. I've had loads of prizes flooding in from businesses all over the shop today. So going to be a class night. You know, Friday the 24th of March, 9 bar, 7:30 start. We've got like 40 prizes to give away, both in the quiz and the raffle. It's an international weekend, so there's fuck all else going on. So please buy tickets and get yourself down. You find the link on True Faith and on the Gallagher Flags Twitter page. You can also just drop me a message if you've got any questions about it. A couple of you have already. Thanks to everyone who's left positive reviews. We've managed to see for the first time this week anyone outside of the UK who's left positive reviews, of which there are plenty. So big shout out to the listeners in America and Ireland especially, who've left for loads. I'm less than 100% tonight, so I'm going to leave the talking to most of the other lads. So we've got a full Birmingham preview. We're going to talk a little bit about Fulham and the other clubs, and then we're going to look at, you know, we've all done the Chronicle Predictor, which, to be fair to the Chronicle, it's pretty good. Little tool lets you predict everyone's results and see where the table ends. Obviously, I have Newcastle comfortably at the top of the league, but we'll see what the other lads have got. And yeah, we'll start the show. So I'll introduce Tom first of all as a first time contributor to the show. Tom, why don't you start telling the listeners a little bit about yourself and the movement you've set up?
So there was a bit of a Twitter discussion going on about the atmosphere, and it was on the back of what you've done with Gallagher Flags and stuff like that, of how the atmosphere wasn't really sort of mirroring the displays that were set up. Like, the displays were fantastic, but people were just taking advantage of it and, you know, and not respecting it, kind of thing. So it was a little bit of a Twitter discussion, and a few of us set up a sort of movement to try and change the attitude towards it. That's how it happened.
Fair enough. And have you had much success so far? Do you think many people getting in touch?
Yeah, we've got lots of people going on the website. We've had about 800 people sign up, and we've had a lot of contact with the club, so it's going really well, and a lot of people are really behind it.
Oh, champion, good to hear. And if you've got the Twitter account, which I'll tag in the tweet this podcast goes out on, in case anyone listening wants to find it and see a little bit more. And you know, I'm sure people can get in touch with you if they've got any questions, stuff like that. So we'll crack on with the show. Mickey,
you know, by the way, just to jump in, people have spent more time taking photos of the flags and like clapping us as we walk down with the surfer when we're finished with it than they're doing singing. So frustrating.
another story.
Look at all those flags, isn't that great? And then back to sitting on their hands.
Right. Well, let's not criticise the majority of Newcastle support again. It doesn't go down well with some reviewers of the podcast. This week, we know who you are, by the way. Not that I'm sure you care, but anyway, Mickey, then, since you're the one who's been talking, after defeat at Fulham, what do you think Raphael have been doing with the lads this week in training? I mean, this is the first full week he's had the players before a game since was it Wolves? Yeah, Wolves. Wolves is the last time we had a full, like, game-free week. It's been an absolutely mental march for fixtures. Not March, February, and then the start of March. So what do you think he should have been doing with the players this week after Saturday?
I just want to jump in here, Mickey, actually. can I have a go at Mitro?
Good one, Ben.
I think it's all his fault.
Go on, Ricky.
I think there would have been a bit of an inquest. The performance on Saturday was very poor all over the pitch. I think the first couple of days, or certainly the first 10 minutes, they will have been analysing the game. You would think analysing the videos, looking at what they've done wrong. But other than that, I think you will have just been focusing on getting us back to playing our own game, which is what we didn't do on Saturday, and what's cost us. I'm hoping that he spent a bit of time working on them, keeping the ball on the floor and looking for Galen behind, but not just lumping it up to him. That's what I'm hoping, at least.
Ben, do you think that having how relentless it was? Me and Simon made the point on the podcast on Sunday that I thought the players just looked absolutely exhausted. It was just a game we could do without. Not that that's an excuse, by the way, it's a reason, but it's not an excuse. We still should have done better. Do you think that this full week will do the players good and we'll see a different Newcastle as a result?
I hope so. I mean, I just think the would demand a reaction from them. I think that's more than anything. I think the performance they put in, I mean, yes, you can say they might have been tired, but that still doesn't excuse the performance that some of the players put in, I think. I think you have to give a little bit of credit to Fulham. I thought they were probably one of the better teams we've seen at St James's Park this year. They played really well, and their game plan worked really well. But I still feel a non-form Newcastle side should be beating every team that comes to St James's Park. We've got the individuals. It's just about putting the performances out there. There's so, like, far too many players were just really, really poor. I think Shelby had one of his worst games of the season. And I think it demands a reaction from those players that are meant to be at a level above. I mean, we always go on about how good Shelby is. He was absolutely terrible on Saturday. He just didn't sort of really have any idea sort of how to get the team playing. And obviously, we rely a lot on him to get things going. I suppose it puts a lot of pressure on him to do everything. But at the same time, he's probably one of the highest paid players at the club. He's probably the most gifted player at the club. So unfortunately, that's the sort of mantle that goes with it. I expect a hell of a lot more from him. Hopefully, he'll sort of sort himself out and put in a performance that I think we need from him, and hopefully he'll control everything.
To be fair, a lot of our key players have played 270 minutes of the three away games over the past week and a half. So we do have to give them a bit of leeway, particularly Shelby, who's done a lot more running, I think, over these past away games than he normally does. A lot more defensive work. Again, not that it's an excuse for the performance against Fulham, but you've kind of got to let them off with this one in a way because of the way the previous games have gone, how hard we worked to get those three results, which were the more important results than Fulham, who obviously doing well. But
Tom, in terms of the game on Saturday, how it was dead flat from a fan base to the fan base perspective, and I heard people before that saying St James's would be more relaxed, and that was one of the reasons that it was so bad. You know, in previous games everyone was nervous, everyone was going to get promoted. Do you think it's probably good that we've got an away game this week, because I don't know how keen the players would be to play in front of that crowd again, or do you think I'm making excuses for them?
No, I think that's absolutely right. Well, home form isn't up to scratch. It's not. It doesn't reflect the away form. Like, and I put that down to 50,000 people sitting there, anxious, waiting for you to do something, waiting for it to be 4-0 by 20 minutes, and they start groaning, they start having to go at players for not doing what they think's right. And at the Fulham game, we're 2-0 down, and the guy next to me, He sings and stands all game, you know. He's very vocal and stuff like that. But he's turned to us and he just couldn't understand. Like, he was like, why is our home form so bad? And I just said, well, I says, would you really want to be playing on that pitch if you were a football player? And he went no.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can give the whole you know, they get paid X amount of money and stuff like that, they should be able to do their job and all that type of stuff. But when you've got that amount of people giving you a load of abuse, I don't think it helps at all with performances.
So we'll look now into the Chronicle's very, very handy tool, which is the promotion predictor. Fair play to the lads at the Chronicle for doing that. Dead easy to use, and it allows you to put in all the details and results, or predicted results, for all three promotion chasing teams, Huddersfield, Brighton, Newcastle. I'll kick it off. What did I get? I've got it on the computer here, and naturally, it won't surprise listeners, I've got Newcastle top on 98 points, Brighton second on 92, Huddersfield 3rd and 89. Obviously, I don't have us losing a game, which may be ambitious, but I'm back and want to put, what have we got, 9 games left? I'm back and want to put a proper good run together, you know, like we have several times this season. And I'm back in Huddersfield. Huddersfield have got to play a lot of teams in the relegation, Maya. Teams with things to play for. We've got the like your Prestons, your Barnsleys, even Burton Albion, all out of it, but Burton Albion, Cardiff, teams with absolutely nothing to play for. Brighton to an extent as well, though Brighton have got a few of those relegation threatened teams. Apart from Wigan, I don't think we play any of the relegation threatened teams, so that's my reasoning. I really back the lads to do it. So I've got Newcastle champions with 98 points. Mickey, what did you come up with and why?
So I've got the 2 on 102, positive as always. Huddersfield 97, Brighton 96.
96 points for 96 points for Brighton.
96, yeah.
You know, no team's ever not gone up with 90 and then they're going to hit 96.
Yeah, no, it's a different season, isn't it? There's three teams that are...
Exactly, Dogger. All the rules have gone out the window.
96 points. Get them promoted for me. If they get 96 points, take all three away. it's too harsh to not go up on 96 points. But so, what did you see? Did you see Newcastle losing a game, Mickey?
No, I didn't put us to lose. I had us drawn a couple, but I can't remember which ones now, but not losing. I don't think I put Huddersfield or Brighton to lose either, which is quite ambitious for three of us, really. But
get very good odds on that, mate. Very good odds on the three, we're not losing another game.
I might have a couple of quid on. The thing is, I've had a proper look at Huddersfield's fixtures, which I'll come on to in a bit, and I've also had a brief look at Brighton's and ours, and really there's no games for any of us that we should lose. I know football doesn't work like that, but...
Well, Brighton have got to go to Leeds, which is this weekend, actually, and...
A draw.
And I know this sounds a little bit silly, but Fulham have got to go to Huddersfield, the old conquering mighty Fulham, a wayside who were fan base has been bigging up massively, so 3 points in the bag there for Fulham.
There's
a draw as well. Tom, how did you end up seeing it?
I got 102 for us, top. 100 for Brighton. 100 points. Huddersfield.
100 points for Brighton. Not winning the league again would be so harsh on Brighton. Not winning the league with 100 points. I take it. You got.
I don't have anywhere to lose. but I think Chris Hughton, he's a great manager and he's been in this position before. He's gonna know what.
he has, Tom, and he fucked it up last season.
Wait, I meant with us. But I think Huddersfield might buckle under the pressure of, you know, having to chase the top two. And I've got them down. I've got Huddersfield down for a draw against Fulham. And a draw against Norwich and Derby. And I've got us down for a draw against Leeds at home.
I think Huddersfield play this Thursday, don't they? They play this Thursday night. No, Friday against Bristol. I think Bristol get something. Bristol's form against the top teams is good, you know, Mickey. Much better than against the bottom teams. And they're under pressure. They're not a bad side.
They're bottom in the league. They're rubbish.
We will see. Listen, imagine if Borough... like, stay up scoring, like, 9 goals all season and Huddersfield don't get to come up on 95, 96 points. Something wrong with football if that happens. And I don't really...
I think, whoever ends up missing out on automatic promotion out of the three of us this season is going to be massively unlucky. I really hope whoever it is wins the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's fair, though. It would be... It's always hilarious. Like, Hull last season finished 6th and then snaked it through through Big Mo Diomi. Ben, did you do this for us?
I did. Put loads of preparation into it. And I got Newcastle on 98.
Same as me.
Brighton on 94. And Huddersfield on 93.
Oh, Huddersfield. Poor Huddersfield. Fair enough. So we're all going for Newcastle to win the league and get promoted. That's the main thing.
I think I've got... where have I got? I've got Huddersfield. I think I'll drop points against Fulham. I've got Fulham at home. We've seen how good Fulham were against us away. And obviously, we've been talking quite a lot this week about how good they are away from home. I had them drawing away to Derby. I had them drawing with Preston. And I had them drawing with Norwich. That was a bit mental, but... never know. I just think that Norwich have obviously potentially going to have a new manager by that point. I think there's a few teams still actually that are going to have like new managers, so you might see a little bit of a reaction from those teams. So,
well, Ben, what a segue, because the next thing we're going to talk about is the vote that we put to you. The listeners picked up a couple of hundred votes. What to talk about tonight? It was between Mourinho at Man United. Is he doing a good job? Wenger out, Lukaku at Everton. Eventual winner, the mental amount of managers that have been sacked this week in the championship. So who wants to lead with Steve McLaren?
I'll talk about Steve. What an absolute pleasure it is to see Newcastle fans prove right yet again against the entirety of the national media and basically every other football fan in the country. Every time anything happens at Newcastle, Newcastle fans are wrong. You'll see Newcastle fans, you're wrong. But we're never wrong. Look at Pardew, then McLaren, both of them, John Carver getting sacked off a Cypriot team that are third in the Cypriot League. I just love it when these things happen and the national press have to, they never admit it, but they have to realise that Newcastle fans are right again.
Yeah.
McLaren's done it. Horrific job, by the way. I hadn't even really realised because I don't give a shit about McLaren or Derby. But on the telly the other day, it mentioned that his stats were something like 7 wins in the first 10 games, and then like 5 in the following 18 or something, which is appalling for a team like Derby who've got good players, good squad, reasonable sized fan base. To be losing that many games is unacceptable. And it's because, frankly, he's a shite football manager.
The dream for me, next summer, Ellis Short, Moyes is left, you know, the club's facing administration, who's free, who doesn't cost any money to get from a club because he's not tied down, Steve McLaren. Finishing the job he started with us in the North East, but in a lower division.
McLaren in Sunderland and Pardew in a Villa would be the best day ever.
Well, Pardew's supposed to go to Norwich. Did anyone else see that one coming? Alex Neil getting sacked, Ben, maybe?
Bro.
Sorry?
No, it was a strange one, that the timing, because when Norwich should have sacked him, they stuck with him. And then obviously sort of they've had a little bit of an upturn in results and they've started to climb their way back up the league a little bit, and then they've pied him. It's just a bit, I'm a little bit surprised at the timing of that one, but I think he deserved to go ages ago, so it's not that much of a surprise, but just strange timing.
The timing was weird, Matt, but they've had a few hammerings this season, and I understand that sacking. He's took them up, he's got them relegated, and it doesn't look like they're going to be coming up this season, so I can understand that sacking.
I mean, let's not forget as well, they were touted as the most complete team, the team that was going to run away with the league. At
the team that
everyone was saying that they were going to win it, weren't they?
Well, the team had already come up once, so they all had the experience and all of that, and it was that 4-3 game, really, when they were 2 minutes away from going 7 points clear of us, and, you know, within a couple of days, we were 4 points ahead of them or something mental like that. Everyone knows my crack about Alex Neil. Warren Joyce is the other one. Wigan, Tom, which I'm going to have to come to you for. Any thoughts on Warren Joyce leaving Wigan?
Who?
<Come on>. I've got no knowledge of him or
I did want to come in on this actually. Did you see the Neil Warnock's quotes this week?
No.
Basically, like singled out Warren Joyce, just saying like he's not scared about getting sacked from Cardiff because he thinks he could walk into any job in the Championship. And it's like ridiculous. Some sort of comments. He's just saying you've got someone. He'd name checked Warren Joyce, saying you've got someone like Warren Joyce walking into a job at Wigan who's got no experience. And I can't believe that he's come out and criticised like a fellow manager, like at this stage of the year as well. Like probably kicking the lad while he's down as well. just really like inappropriate comments. But it's just typical of it. Like Warnock has become like the Allardyce of like the Championship. He's got this sort of, I mean, fair play to him, he did a cracking job with Rotherham last year. But, like, he's just done some bang average jobs, like, all over the shop. And yet he's got this self, like, sort of, this ridiculous self-entitlement that he's, like, a great manager in this league. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Warren Joyce.
Warren, if you're listening, you've Ben's on your side, even if no one else is.
You know the Wigan chairman's, like, 23.
Oh, Monaco just scored, lads, hit it. Break of tears. We're in for a cracker, and you lads aren't watching. He's dead young. It's David Sharp, Mickey, and he's had an absolute stinker. He took over the middle of the season. They got relegated from the Championship. Brought in Malky Mackay, which was like, everyone was like, Malky Mackay shouldn't be working in football. It's like, no, we'll give him a chance. I don't think he didn't win a game. And then, he come back up at the first attempt from League One, but looks like they're going down. They've got us to play, actually, so we'll see how that goes. But, lads, I'll move you on to the weekend. Massive game. Zola's Fulham have only won one home game. Can anyone tell me who it was against? You can't, and I've just realised I wrote it in the running order for the show.
I was trying to remember what you wrote. It was one of the top two teams.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no, it was Fulham.
Fulham. You know,
Jesus Christ, Glenn, Carl Court.
It was quite funny because I saw some Newcastle fan on Twitter trying to kick off. Like, everyone says Fulham are mint, but Fulham of Fulham beat them. Not Fulham beat them, but Birmingham beat them, and it's only home win. It's like, aye, but fair enough. Everyone's allowed a bad game, and you know Fulham have only lost three away games all season. It's hardly like they're shit. Like this bloke was trying to make out. But Izola's under massive pressure. Many thinks if he loses this game, it will be the end for him. Tom, do you think that helps us or not?
No, a lot of pressure on manager. You know, it's going to be a really nervous dressing room. And we have a really good record against Birmingham, I think, don't we?
Yeah.
So I'm really confident about the weekend. I think we'll turn them over.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those. He's a crap manager. I don't think that him going or staying makes no impact on them. They're just they're an absolute bottling club. They're going nowhere. They've got no players. They've got no fans.
Yeah. That's harsh.
I think we'll batter them.
They were fifth when we played them in December when they beat them 4-0. They were fifth in the league and then sacked Rowett the week after.
They deserve absolutely everything that comes to them for sacking him. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
To bring in someone that's been poor in management in English football is the entire reputation based on is obviously the fact that he was brilliant at football, but that doesn't mean anything in terms of being a manager. To sack a manager who had you playing good football and winning games to bring a big name in is so fucking naive. And I would like to see Birmingham go down purely for that reason, and also because they're from the Midlands and it's cursed.
What was I going to say about Birmingham? Oh, yeah. Fair play to Birmingham, though. I've been to St Andrews probably four or five times now. One of the best away grounds for atmosphere. Probably not this weekend because of the run they're on, but I'll just, you know, it's one of the few away games where I kind of respect the atmosphere a bit. Our support down there in January was shocking, so I'm hoping for much better on Saturday. Funny enough, in January, Benitez played 5-3-2, meet Rowan Murphy up front. I doubt we'll see that, lads. Is it a pretty straightforward lineup for you, Ben?
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think most of it picks itself. There's a couple of people. I don't know if Hayden's back in contention.
No, he's not.
So, yeah, it probably picks itself, unfortunately, again.
Well, I mean, so Tom, Diome or Perez for you? Diome is quitting the national football this week, allegedly to concentrate on Newcastle.
I'd rather Perez. I don't like saying negative things against Perez, but he is a poor man's Moussa Sissoko. He came out ages ago and said why he's been really tired and why he's not really been performing for it. Minnesota went on. He had a few good games and then he's came out again, quitting at national football because he wants to concentrate on us. He just needs to put it down. He just needs to put the forms in on the pitch. So I really want to see Murphy and Perez.
Murphy and Perez, not even Gale.
Well, if he's fit, he went off holding his hamstring last week, didn't he?
No, I don't think so. I think he was all right. He's supposed to be fit for this one, yeah. But I mean,
Gale and Murphy, then.
Yeah, Gale and Murphy attacking. I mean, Murphy is the man. Like, he's played really, really well in all the recent games. Thing about Diome is I'd probably start him just because he's only had one really good game for Newcastle, and it was against these at home and beat them 4-0. He was absolutely fantastic, so probably I'd go Gale and Diome.
I'd like to see him deployed deeper. We've talked a few times about he makes a much better impact when he's playing a deeper role. So, I mean, I think Colback's been struggling a little bit recently as well. So I'd like to see him drop Diome into the centre mid next to Shelvey. I think it just releases Shelvey a bit more as well. And then obviously you can play either Perez or Murphy. To be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing Perez just because although Murphy's been playing quite well, I like his impact off the bench. I think he's a big impact player. I think giving him that sort of 20 half an hour period role where he can come on and just run himself into the ground, I think it works really well for the team. So I'd quite like to see that continue.
Fair enough.
I feel like he makes more of an impact off the bench than he would starting.
Fair enough, Mickey. Gomez or Anita at right back? I thought Anita had a stinker on Saturday, but so did everyone else.
Yeah. Well, everyone knows my opinion on Anita. I don't think he's very good at football, but I don't know anything about Gomez. There's nothing to base any judgment on. Like
Redden away.
He's been basically a non-event for us this season. Even when he's played, he hasn't done anything particularly wrong or right. Although he was terrible for the first 20 minutes. Last time players kept kicking the ball away. I don't think the game's going to be won or lost by who we play right back. It's much of a muchness between the two of them for me.
Fair enough, and I suppose the only other question is whether do you bring Gouffran back into the team and get Richie back on the right? Because the last few games, Richie's been playing across on the left with Atsu on the right, and Atsu's not impressed me.
Yeah, I think he's another player that's better coming off the bench as an impact player. I just think I don't know, it's a funny one. We were calling him from to get his chance because I think we were basically saying the same couple of games ago against Gouffran. Now he doesn't really do a lot, and it's Atsu coming off the bench that seems to get the impact. But again, I think it's sort of impact of Atsu. Obviously, his pace coming off the bench against tight defenders, he just has more of an impact. Whereas, as you say, he's sort of struggled the last few games. He's not really made much of an impact in terms of the attacking play that we thought he might do. He struggled a bit. I think his tactical sort of awareness isn't the best. So I would probably bring Gouffran in, and I just think you've Atsu and Murphy coming off the bench are a pretty decent 1-2 to sort of have a big impact on the game if need be.
Yeah, I mean
I definitely think Murphy starts, by the way. I think he's been excellent recently, and For me, it's an absolute no-brainer that Diome's got to play in centre-mid. Kovac's been ineffective recently, and he hopefully shouldn't really be that necessary against Birmingham. We shouldn't have to do that much defending in the middle of the park. And Diome has been good when he's dropped back into centre-mid. He can't play number 10. He isn't a number 10. He hasn't got the attributes for it. He can't do it. And it's pointless playing him there, and everyone thinks he's rubbish because he keeps playing out of position. Put him in centre mid where he's been good, and let an actual attacker play up front with Gale. If we can get Murphy and Gale in front of Shelvey and Diome, it could be 5-6-0 against Birmingham.
Oh, Christ! So I suppose what's your prediction, Mickey, for the game?
If it's that team 5-6-0,
Mr.
serious yelling will be 3-1.
Mr. Two Star Review will not be happy. Ben.
It's it's a tough one because again, we predict Newcastle wins to batter teams every week, but I don't know. Just after that performance last week, it looks knackered, and you just wonder. Is it the case at the busy end of the season as well? It's probably been sort of a long season for players. I hope obviously that week off will have done them a lot of good. I can see we're nicking it 1 or 2 nil. I don't think it'll be that comfortable, just because I think as well a few players have been out of form. So I think we'll nick it though.
Tom,
just because they're terrible.
I'd agree with 2-0. I don't think it's going to be a complete annihilation, but I think we're comfortably 2-0 or 3-0, I'll go for.
Yeah, I'll go. We've been poor defensively recently, so I can't say we're keeping a clean sheet, but let's go for 2-1 to Newcastle. Me and Bolland.
I was going to say, actually, just that their striker, Juxwex or whatever, however you pronounce it.
I like that.
You know who I mean?
Djokovic.
Yao Teixeira.
No, I think it's Djokovic, but go on, Ben.
Well, however you pronounce it, the Polish lad up top. But he's like sort of causes a lot of problems every time I've seen him against West. So yeah, I agree with that. I think he looks a bit of a handful, so I could see him causing us a few problems. So I'll amend my 1-2-1. I agree with you. I think they'll probably think a goal without him.
Lads, it's been a pleasure. Me and Bolland will be back for you probably on the way. Me and Bolland are driving down. We'll try and do a podcast on the way back. Next week, we'll have the three-quarter season review. The quarter and half season reviews went down very well, so we're kind of looking back at the last 12 games and ahead to the final 8 games that we'll have left. That'll probably be out in the middle of the week or the start of next week. Gallagher Flags quiz, Friday night. See you there, hopefully, and... That's it, lads. Thanks for your time, and we'll be back soon.